you so much. Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please help me welcome our speaker tonight, Patrick B., a compulsive overeater from Minnesota, actually, and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After this share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Patrick.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you for your service. Thank you all for your service. And thank you, Jessica, for the invitation. It's always an honor and a privilege. Overeaters Anonymous saved my life, so I don't take the responsibility of being asked to speak lightly. I'm a guy that spent 11 years in another fellowship, telling you that I was living a life of spiritual principles from podiums, and I was continuing to compulsively overeat and gain weight to the point where at 11 years sober, I was 420 pounds, dying of type 2 diabetes, having put on 150 pounds after a triple bypass. I don't have the easy version of this disease. I have the fatal version. I have what the Big Book calls a grave condition. And it took a responsible recovered member of this fellowship to 12-step me at the International AA Convention in Atlanta. So if you think you're a little whacked up, I got 12-stepped into another 12-step fellowship at a 12-step convention. So welcome to the club. I'm also pleased to be on a newcomer or returning members meeting, because I'm a guy who's had to reset his abstinence date twice in Overeaters Anonymous. And I didn't go on long binges. They were both one day more dishonesty stuff. I work a very accountable program. My sponsor and I have agreed that anytime I make a change in what I've committed for my food during the day, that I will call. I am what the Big Book describes as an extreme example of self-will run riot, especially when I'm resentful. One of those episodes happened in a hospital when they were about to amputate two of my toes as a direct consequence of the neuropathy that I contracted, as a direct consequence of the type 2 that I contracted, as a direct consequence of my compulsive overeating. Apparently consequences aren't sufficient to keep me abstinent. I think it's really important that we have newcomer meetings and returning member meetings, because there is a solution. What was wrong with me during those two thing is something that the Big Book talks about. There was something wrong with my spiritual condition. I hadn't maintained fit spiritual condition. In other words, dishonesty crept in. And when if I'm dishonest or resentful, those are two huge markers for me to return back to whatever, because I can't live in that duality. I can't live in the duality, the spiritual duality of saying one thing and doing another. I almost died doing that. And so I work a very accountable program of Overeaters Anonymous. I use all the tools each day. I do that. I call my sponsor every day. I commit my food. I read an assignment. I have a very committed and disciplined way that I go about this. And I'm not telling anybody else they have to do it. That's just what I need to do to maintain abstinence, and more importantly, sanity, and a spiritual practice that represents the principles of Overeaters Anonymous. You know, it's easy for me to get on a meeting like this and talk sharp and sound good, and then click out and act like a donkey when nobody's looking. You know, the big book says that there's a more important demonstration of our principles in our homes, occupations, and affairs. And if you're wondering what that looks like, do what I do every Thanksgiving. After dinner's over, I start a conversation about religion and politics. No, I'm just joking. I ask a question. Over the past year since last Thanksgiving, how have I showed up in your life? And then I listen. Because I don't have an accurate assessment. If I had the ability to accurately assess how I'm showing up in other people's lives, I wouldn't need 12-step recovery. I just wouldn't. You know, the first 43 pages of the big book, from page one, Bill's story, and all the way to 44, and including the doctor's opinion, are about one singular subject, step one. All the way to We Agnostics is about one thing: are you or aren't you? And what happens to me is that it's not hard for me to admit that I'm powerless over food. You know, that's pretty obvious when you're over 400 pounds dying of type 2 diabetes after having your heart repaired because you nearly drank yourself to death, right? What I get stuck on is the dash in step one. There's a dash in step one. It's the only step with a dash. I get stuck on the dash. I will not admit to you that my life is unmanageable. Because I think if I have enough external comfort circumstances in my life, I'll be okay. And what I suffer from is an internal problem. It's got nothing to do with my external circumstances. I have a spiritual malady. It's described on page 52 of We Agnostic in the middle paragraph. Were we having trouble with personal relationships? We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't, you know... There's a number of things. And by the way, they refer to those as our human problems, not our overeating problem. Or in the big book, obviously, it refers to alcohol. But we just replace that with food in this fellowship. So when I come here, I'm aware that I'm the service that I'm providing is literally saving my life. And if somebody else gets something out of it, that's just a huge bonus. If you are new here, or you are returning, or you're struggling in some way, I'm here to report to you that there is a solution. It requires your participation. That's the other thing that I will emphasize. There's no way to absorb the program by osmosis. I tried that. You know, I tried doing the intellectual route. And what we're here to do is have an experience with this work. One of the things I always talk about when I do this type of a talk is the fact that the 12 steps don't keep me sober and the big book doesn't keep me sober. The power that I get connected to as a result of taking the actions in the big book is what keeps me sober. A power greater than myself. And the good news about that power is it gets to look any way you need it to look. Right? At your own conception. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Because if you speak to me about God, higher power, or any sort of anything that resembles any sort of a religion when I come into 12-step recovery, we're going to have a real problem. Because I've got some history with people of the cloth that is not, let's just say it's dark. So if you speak to me of those things, when I come in the door and you don't take me directly to where it says your own conception of God is sufficient, right? I'm out. I think we need to be careful. We need to be specific about what we refer to when we refer to the word God, your own conception. And for me, if not for that careful presentation of the material in the book right away, you've got somebody else speaking tonight, because I'm gone. I'm not here. And I may not even be alive. I probably wouldn't be alive. But, you know, that's always interesting, too, because, you know, I hear people say, well, I'm in 12-step fellowship, so I don't die. Well, I got bad news for you. You're gonna. What a 12-step fellowship is about is what your life's going to look like in front of that day. What do you want it to be? And I can report to you, thank God, that God forbid if I drop dead tomorrow, the parking lot at the church would probably be pretty full. My family would show up. They'd be in the front row, and there'd be rows and rows of other human beings that I have good relationships with today as a result of being in 12-step recovery. And I can report to you that when I was in the food, that wasn't the case. I had transactional relationships. I was a transactional human being, right? It was always what's in it for me. What's in it for me? Why me? What's in it for me? Food was probably my first mood altering chemical. There are memories of me that I've been informed of, and I have a very vague memory of one incident when I was 4 or 5 years old of sitting on the kitchen floor of my the family home, smeared in chocolate, after having built this like chair box, soup pot tower to get to the cupboards to get the chocolate chips out of the top cupboard. I'd seen my mother put them there the day before. She put them up there to hide them actually from all of us. But I went and got them, and I did that more than once. And what I know now, having done a thorough first step in Overeaters Anonymous, is that I had an addiction to sugar and chocolate from the beginning of my life. I also have, addictions to other ingredients in food. And my food plan reflects that, right? I avoid those. And I have a food plan given to me by a nutritionist because A, I have medical needs that are reflected in that. And B, because if I'm making decisions about what's going in my mouth, I'm not here tonight. I'm just not. I'm not in recovery. I don't get to make those decisions. I need direction. And that's what step one is all about. And that's what the first 43 pages of the big book are about. Do you have the power of choice in food? Because I don't. If I did, I wouldn't be here, right? I mean, why would I need a 12-step fellowship if I had the power of choice over food in my life? I'd fix it. Diets would work. If you're new here, and I want to come back, I want to report to you that I came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in the summer of 2015 in August at 420 pounds. I've been relieved of 220 pounds. I'm just under 200 pounds. I've been relieved of 220 pounds. My type 2 diabetes has been fully resolved. I no longer required diabetic medication. I've resolved a number of other chronic, potentially fatal conditions, including sleep apnea, and my heart disease is stable. I have any number of chronic progressive illnesses that could threaten my life that Overeaters Anonymous has helped me return to health on. Mind, body, and spirit are all traveling in the same general direction. There is no separation. You know, one of the things that I noticed about 3 years into recovery in OA, now, mind you, I have plenty of time in that other fellowship, and I still pick up my chips over there, and I'm an active member of AA, and I'm a better member of AA as a result of my membership in this fellowship, because I didn't drink. But I don't claim to have been in recovery for many of the years I spent over there. I was abstinent from consuming alcohol, but I wasn't in recovery. I knew what that was supposed to look like because I'd read the book, I'd memorized the book, and I'd go through the book with other people and watch their lives take off, and mine just sort of leveled. I did enough to stay sober from alcohol, but I was not living a life of recovery. And that again is, you know, the test for that is, are mind, body, and spirit all going in the same general direction? I always had this separation, right? I was compartmentalizing areas of my life. And I remember very clearly, I almost drank myself to death at 44 years old. I got into AA at 44, and I won't bore you with that story because it's not the right fellowship for the story, but I was walking out of intensive care wards after having heart attacks during DTs. That's the level of alcoholism that I have in my life. So at 44, I start about a 2-year and 4-month supervised process, including active membership in the Grandfather Fellowship, getting sober. And the first 5 years are good. But then I had a triple bypass at 5 years sober as a result of the damage I did to my heart with alcohol. And I remember waking up in the waiting room or in the ICU, the cardiac ICU, thinking to myself, well, now I can eat whatever I want. And I go back to that story in the big book where it says, suddenly the thought crossed my mind that I could pour whiskey into the milk. And everybody laughs about pouring the whiskey into the milk, right? Because it sounds insane. But the danger there is suddenly the thought crossed my mind. That's the danger. Because suddenly the thought crossed my mind in a cardiac ICU that I could go eat whatever I wanted. And I did. And 6 years later, I had put on 150 pounds. I don't know any cardiologists that recommend that as a recovery process from a triple bypass. If you find one, report him. I'm waddling around in my other fellowship, waving the book and getting to podiums because this thing under my nose runs pretty good, and I have this intellectual experience with the big book in recovery. It's not an authentic spiritual experience. It's an intellectual application of this work, and that's not going to keep me from another manifestation of the compulsion, which I had in food. And I believe that I've had an allergy to food since the beginning. And I obviously have the allergy to alcohol as well. People say, well, you're a double winner. Don't start that one with me. You'll get it. I'm going to have a problem with that because it doesn't feel like a win some days. But I'm also grateful So I'll get to the beginning of my recovery in OA. In the summer of 2015, I attended the International AA Convention in Atlanta. There's about 50 to 60,000 people who typically go to that. We fill a football stadium. Y'all should come sometime. Anybody in 12-step fellowships is welcome. It's a hell of a party. We take over a city. All the hotels are packed. Bartender's the loneliest guy in the city. And I'm at this, and I can only walk about 500 to 700 to 1,000 feet at this point. I'm in bad shape. My knees are bad. My back's bad. My legs are swelled. I'm wearing 40 mm socks to keep the clots in my legs from forming. And if you ask me how I'm doing, I'll tell you, I'm fine. It's my standard line. I'm fine. How you doing? I'm fine. Because you're not going to take it away from me, right? I'm treating my internal condition, this spiritual malady, with food, and you're not going to take it away. I don't have a food problem. I have an attempt. Food is my attempt at a solution to this internal dialogue of condemnation and pain and difficulty, the spiritual malady. I'm resentful. I'm dishonest, right? I live in constant fear at the time, right? That somebody's going to find me out, or worse, somebody's going to call me on my bullshit. And thank God somebody did. So I'm sitting on this bench, and this couple that I had met at a retreat that I had led, a big book retreat, recognized me and came over and said hello. And if I can share my screen, which I will do now, see if I can dig this up. There it is. Can you see that?
Yep.
So this picture up here is in the summer of 2015. These two have given me permission to show their likeness. This is the couple. And I always get emotional when I look at this. This is 2015. This is 2019, the picture in the lower.
I don't think we've seen
it. We're seeing a sunset with benches on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Let me...
that was the picture.
I apologize. Now I'm struggling to get back to the original screen. Hang on. Give me a minute here.
It's usually at the top. It says stop share in red.
Yeah, I can't get back to the original screen.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so I apologize for this. I should have not even bothered with it. Let me just get out of here and shut them all down. If I click out of your screen, I'll get back in.
You're good now, Patrick. You're back on.
I'm back on? Okay. Well, anyway, there's a photograph of me at that convention with those two people. One of which at which I'm 400 pounds, and the other of which is, I'm at you know a normal weight. She had the courage to come address me. They came over to me, and she sent him out for a cup of coffee. And she sat down next to me and said, "Patrick, how you doing?" And I gave her my standard answer, which is, "I'm fine." And she looked at me and you know, she squeezed my hand and said, "Patrick, you're full of shit. You're dying." And as a responsible recovered member of Overeaters Anonymous, I need to tell you that you don't have to live this way anymore. And she proceeded to 12-step me right then and there. She told me her story. She had a prosthetic leg. She had lost part of her left leg to the vagaries of type 2 diabetes, which, you know, was certainly a possibility for me at the time. I've lost four of my toes to the neuropathy that type 2 diabetes caused in my life. My feet are pretty mangled. But, you know, today I went on a 7-mile hike. A pretty vigorous one outdoors, right? You know, I've got prosthetics in my shoes and I can walk because of the miracle of Overeaters Anonymous and the quality of my physical health that I've been returned to. Mind, body, and spirit all traveling in the same general direction. She squeezed my hand and let me know. And of course, my reaction to that 12-step effort was to go home after that convention and eat like a madman for about a month. Because, you know, nobody's going to put baby in a corner, right? I'm an extreme example of self-will run riot. I'm going to do what? I got a 4-year-old that lives in my head. He's got a 1-word vocabulary. When people tell me something that's probably going to benefit me, his response is typically, yeah. So, but I woke up one Sunday morning with a mustard seed of willingness, and I went to an Overeaters Anonymous meeting that was about a mile from my house. So if any of you think you're a little wackadoodle, I had to fly 1,500 miles or whatever it is from Minneapolis to Atlanta twice to be 12-stepped into a home group that ended up being about a mile from my home in Minnesota. So, you know, there we go. That's just how I have to hear it, right? You got to fly me down to a convention center in Atlanta, hit me over the head with a 2x4, and then send me back. So I attended. And at that meeting, somebody after the meeting asked me a very rude, intrusive question. And the rude, intrusive question was, hey, what are you going to have for breakfast? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, here, try this. And I found myself in a grocery store about a half an hour later. And I'm not the kind of guy that typically does that. But for some reason, I was willing. And they took me by the hand and they walked me through my initial days and weeks of abstinence until I could get with a nutritionist and figure out what to do for my medical condition, right? And how to eat and get a plan that would get a food plan in place and start using these other tools. And then you told me to pick up the 10,000-pound telephone and start making calls every day. And I still make 3 outreach calls a day because I enjoy making outreach calls. I like talking to people. So feel free to use that number that I put up next to my, you know, I love talking about recovery with people, especially people that are struggling, because I've struggled. My back-to-back black and white abstinence date is August 26th of 2020. And again, I've had 2 one-day dishonesty binges that resulted in 1 minor food binge. I wouldn't call any binge minor, but for me it was minor. I ate an entire can of cashews in a hospital bed, and it ended up postponing a surgery that was designed to save my leg, by the way, the amputation of 2 toes, by a couple of days. But I got back on right after that, and here we are. What does my life look like today? Well, I've recently, in June of 2019, I completed my, as a result of being in this fellowship, I'll guarantee you, I completed my master's, and I recently took a position as the director of a large rehabilitation center here in Minnesota, a 140-bed rehabilitation facility for street-level addicts and alcoholics. And the reason I'm able to do that job is because mind, body, and spirit are all traveling in the same general direction. I am in fit spiritual condition. I'm physically as healthy as I've been probably since I was in my early 20s. I'm 64 years old, and I accepted that offer. They recruited me. And that just speaks to the restorative, redemptive power that we get connected to here as a result of working these steps. Like I said, you know, there's a couple of things I want to finish up with. One of them is that, I want to reemphasize, I've relapsed twice in this program, so I'm not beating anybody up with this. But what I found out during that is relapse is not a part of recovery. Relapse is a symptom of the illness. What we have offered to us as a result of the Big Book is something called permanent recovery. It's referred to in the foreword to the second edition, and it's referred to in the run-up to Dr. Bob's story after the first 164 pages in that little paragraph. It talks about permanent recovery. That's what's available here, right? But I have to maintain fit spiritual condition, which means I have to have a disciplined practice of 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. It's not optional for me. I had to be willing to take actions I didn't understand so I could get results I couldn't deny. I'm an evidence guy. And my sponsor in OA think, well, if you want evidence, then you have to do what's recommended. And what the book recommends is taking a specific set of actions as we started making our amends. So if you're struggling with your spiritual condition, where are you at with amends? Where are you at? What, you know, my sponsor asks me pretty regularly, what's your current spiritual condition? Are you living on an experience you had with the steps 5 years ago? Because I go back through them about every, you know, somewhere between every 2 and 3 years, because I want to have a new experience with this power. And that's what's happened, you know, is I find something else that's slightly inconvenient and that I'm not always that comfortable about finding out. But I don't live a static spiritual life. I live an active, engaged one. And boy, does that, you know what that means? That means I'm not perfect. That means it's messy at times. That means I struggle. But I struggle openly with the support of other members, right? Because I'm willing to be transparent. I've invited people, I've given them spiritual consent to give me truth. Because if we're not here to give each other truth in this fellowship and support each other in an accountable way, a way that's accountable to the practices that are contained in our text, what are we doing? We're signing death warrants. So I'm grateful for the people in my life that are willing to hold me accountable, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. And I see the clock, Donna, so no worries. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope, because there is much hope. My life is living, breathing, walking, talking testimony and evidence of the power of God and the 12 steps contained in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not supposed to be here tonight. If life were linear and logical, I would not be here. Thank God it's not, because here I am. So thank you for my life. Thank you for my recovery, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Patrick, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And if we can stop the recording. Oh, no, we continue. Yeah, we stopped the recording.